You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We're a single-issue group that exposes and opposes the powerful and well-funded homosexual activist movement. I'm here with co-host John Kirkwood of Grace Gospel Fellowship Church in Grace Gospel Church in Bensonville, Illinois. Welcome, John.
Thanks for being.
And we are back here with Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop, you on the air?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited.
I got to interrupt you, Pete. I got to share this story with you, Bishop. True story. It happened to me this morning driving into the studio. I'm driving in listening to Chicago's number one talk radio station, AM 890, and WLS. And in comes a caller to the show, and he asks him, "Do you guys know a Pastor E.W. Jackson?" And the one guy goes, "Yeah, isn't he from Virginia or something like that?" And he basically tried to summarize your video that now has been seen by over a million people. And I just thought it was great. It was kind of a coincidence coming in. But maybe I can ask you a question based on that, Bishop. Do you think the response to that video, because, you know, a lot of pastors make a lot of short videos and no one sees them. This video has been seen. You've really tapped into something here. Do you think the response to this video, did you tap into a stream of something that existed that you gave voice to? Or do you think it's some kind of a shock value thing?
No, I think it's clearly the former. I think I tapped into something that people were feeling, and I just ended up expressing it. And that's what's caused it to just take off. I mean, it's been as amazing to me as it was to you to hear that on the radio. I've been hearing these kinds of stories. Had a friend of mine tell me he was out in Tucson, Arizona, and somebody said, "Oh, you're from Virginia." He said, "Yeah, but do you know this pastor, this bishop that put this video out?" Mm. He said he just started to laugh. Mm-hmm. He said, "Apparently, people are just seeing this all over the place, and it's just, look, it's a, in my view, frankly, it's a move of God. It's God speaking to the hearts of people who have been hungry for someone to speak the truth." And that's the kind of email I get. "Thank you. You've expressed what I was feeling." And by the way, I'm getting those kinds of emails from black Christians, white Christians, people from all backgrounds. I had a woman who's Hispanic come up to me last night. Same thing, tears in her eyes. "Thank you for expressing what I've been feeling and what I want my community to understand." So there's a universality in the message that apparently really has tapped into something.
But I'll tell you what, and I want to talk with us about you, Bishop, is it's also a function of, and I've been thinking a lot about how the coverage of this election, the biased media coverage against Mitt Romney, is sort of a picture. It's a way to, it's a good teaching tool for America about how the media has distorted coverage of homosexuality and other important issues. And what's happening now, I believe, with you, and I think your video is a great, it alludes to this, is that there are a lot of great black conservatives coming up the ranks. And so the media narrative, or the left-wing narrative, I should say, which is that conservatives are racist. Underneath every conservative is a racist, or inside a racist just dying to come out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's being blown away now because, some of the best conservatives in America happen to be black. And I want to talk to you about media coverage, but before I do, John, you cut in, you're so aggressive there, mm-hmm. You're this alpha male on my left here. I was going to say that Bishop E.W. Jackson is the founder and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, and he's also the bishop of Exodus Faith Ministries, which is based in Chesapeake, Virginia. He is a father of four children. Been married 42 years. He's come out with this exciting video John was talking about, urging black Christians to come out of the Democratic Party due to the immoral stances that the Democratic Party has taken. Having said that, I must reiterate that Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a 501c3 organization. We are not about influencing the election. We report the facts. We are equal opportunity offenders. We expose homosexuality in the Democratic Party, in the Republican Party, in the, among libertarians, among atheists, everybody. And we're just, this is a very important social phenomenon we're talking about. Now, Bishop, and one more thing.
Can I just correct one
sure.
thing? I only have four children. I mean, I only have three children. I wouldn't want my wife to think this around there somewhere.
Right.
You are not Jesse Jackson. Okay. Okay.
I only have three, and they're all about one woman, and she is my wife.
Okay. Now, Bishop, I want to talk about, we have some important things here. But to my point here about the coverage of this election, I don't know if you saw it, but you probably didn't, because I'm not sure you're probably not in the habit, as most conservatives aren't, of watching CNN. But one of my friends called me, Allison Smith called me up from California and said, hey, you got to turn on CNN right now. They're interviewing Brian Fisher. And Brian Fisher is a writer with the American Family Association. He's got a talk show that he hosts. The left hates him, and he American Family Association, of course, has been labeled a hate group, as has Americans for Truth, by the Southern Poverty Law Center. The person interviewing Brian Fisher is Carol Costello, and she kept calling it the Southern Policy Law Center, which shows you where her level of information was. And John, play this interview. AFA had come out against this a special day that the Southern Poverty Law Center was, which encouraged kids to, you know, sit with somebody different at lunch that you don't normally sit to promote, you know, a better understanding and such. And AFA has criticized this because the Southern Poverty Law Center is pro-homosexual. Now, personally, I don't think this particular event was promoting homosexuality as I understood it, but I think the danger of the Southern Poverty Law Center is they use these sort of innocuous programs to get schools hooked, and then they later promote homosexuality very avidly within schools. They're used as a resource by police departments. They offer a free magazine to police, and so they use that influence. So I set that up. Now, play this part of the interview here, John.
Mr. Fisher, I think that the Southern Policy Center could turn the tables on you, because in the past, I'm just going to read to our viewers what you have said in the past. This is from a radio webcast from September of 2010. You have said, Hitler recruited homosexuals around him to make up his stormtroopers. They were his enforcers. They were his thugs. Hitler discovered he could not get straight soldiers to be savage and brutal and vicious enough to carry out his orders, but that homosexual soldiers had no limit to the savagery and brutality they were willing to inflict on whoever Hitler sent them after. That spells agenda, Carol, to me.
Well, Carol, what I would encourage you to do is read a book by Lothar Machtan. He's a German historian, well-respected, secular German historian, who has written a book called The Hidden Hitler.
But we're talking,
in which he says
sir,
exactly that same thing.
We're talking,
he says
sir, about
exactly
hate
that
speech.
Same thing. That
and by most people's standards,
and that he recruited stormtroopers to be his enforcers. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what this noted German historian has said. I'd encourage you to read his book, The Hidden Hitler, Lothar Machtan.
I would think most historians would take issue with that. But what I'm saying to you is that, by many people's standards, would be hate speech.
Well, but the reality is, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're out to destroy the AFA and FRC. That makes them the bullying group. That makes them the hate group. They're the ones that want to silence any view that would criticize the normalization of homosexual behavior. And we know from the CDC and from the FDA, not part of the vast right-wing conspiracy, that homosexual behavior has the same health risks associated with it.
That's just not true. I'm gonna end this interview now, sir. I'm sorry, because that's just not true. Mr. Fisher, thanks for sharing your views, I guess. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with much more in the newsroom.
Now, this is extraordinary, Bishop. She asks him a question. She obviously had been fed the information by the Southern Poverty Law Center or gay activists. She asks him the question. He tries to answer by pointing to an actual book called The Hidden Hitler by Lothar Machtan, and then she just talks right over him. She didn't care about the question. She just, that was her evidence that he is indeed a hater.
Look, this is what they do. You know, a moment ago, you were talking about, you know, me. You said there are many black conservatives and they're standing up. Anybody who dares to contradict their view of homosexuality or, frankly, liberal orthodoxy about anything. You are the enemy. You are a hater. You are a bigot. And they will not let you out of that box. That's where they put you. That's where they want to keep you. And look, you don't only need to be disagreed with, as we saw from her cutting you off. You need to be destroyed. You need to be silenced. And that's what we're up against. It's an authoritarian, totalitarian spirit that has decided they know what's best for everyone. They know that homosexuality is just great, just fine. Forget about the Bible. Forget about your faith. Forget about what God has taught us. Forget about what nature reveals to us. And go along with them. And if you don't, you are the enemy, and they are. They want you declared a hate group. They want you declared a far right wing nut who needs to be perhaps even put in jail. And this is one of the concerns I have with a party that is affiliated with this kind of extremism. Because think about what the stand we are taking, how people would have viewed us 30 years ago, 20 years ago. They would have said we represent the mainstream of American thinking. Now they're saying, "Oh no, we're a fringe group."
Yes. So even if you just oppose the absurd idea of homosexual so-called marriage, even that is enough to be called an extremist, right?
Absolutely. You cannot do that in polite company. In fact, I've had people say, when I go into different venues and people are concerned, "Well, don't bring up homosexual marriage." it's as if, that's the third rail, and everybody knows it. That's great. And don't identify yourself as a nutcase by suggesting that marriage is a union between one man and one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
But here's what I want to get to after the next break. We got a break coming up here, Bishop. But the condescension towards black conservatives is especially, and African Americans in general, because it's, hey, we know what's best for you. Don't think for yourself. We'll be right back with Bishop E.W. Jackson after the break here. Welcome back to Americans for Truth Hour. We're here with Bishop E.W. Jackson, and I'm fired up just getting to know Bishop Jackson. Bishop, I would follow you into battle anytime. I think you are a brave American. I think any American that breaks this rigid political correctness, which is generally comes from the left, is somebody to be followed. I was just talking before the break about this, black Americans, there is a lot of racism on the liberal side. And implicit in a lot of what goes on is, we know what's best for you, Bishop. How dare you break from the Democratic Party? Who do you think you are?
Well, in an interesting way, the Democrat Party is still the heir of the old Dixiecrat trying to hold on to slavery. People think the Republican Party became the party of race. No, the Democrat Party remained the party of race, but they took it to a more subtle level where now they want to dictate to black folks, Americans of African descent, how they should think about everything. And, it's the same, the old stories we used to hear about how black folks were treated in general, but when somebody who was generally thought of as a racist got to know one of them, he would say, "Well, he's different. He's okay." It's the ones who don't know their place. They're the ones we have to be concerned about. And what liberals have done now said, look, we have our definition of what a black person should think, what a black person should say, what a black person should feel. And if they don't adhere to what we believe, that's not one of the good ones. And that one needs to be destroyed, punished, because he or she will mislead the others and they will rebel against the agenda that we have for them. It is so condescending, so paternalistic. And to me, it is a much more insidious racism than any overt racism of the past, because it comes masquerading as compassion and caring and, oh, we're interested. But actually, it's the shackles are just as real, even though psychological, just as real as the old shackles of chains were.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, of course, they're always doing good. Now, we talked last week about how you believe there was going to be a significant peel off or people not voting for Barack Obama this time, people, Americans of African descent, as you say. And by the way, I got an email from somebody, Bishop, who said, "Well, then who should I vote for?" And of course, I can't tell him who to vote for, But I think there are, like you said, I think there's going to be a number of people who just don't vote Democratic this time out of principle.
Yeah, and look, I tell people this when I speak to Christian groups. I say, you know, that's a matter for your own conscience. And people sometimes say, well, do you mind sharing with us how you're going to vote? And I say, no, I'm an American citizen. I've got a right to an opinion. I am going to vote for Mitt Romney. Is Mitt Romney my ideal president? No, he's not. Would I have chosen someone different if I could come up with my ideal president? Yeah, the likelihood is that I would. But I'm going to enthusiastically support him and vote for him because I believe that President Barack Obama is an existential threat to the constitutional republic that we were bequeathed by our founding fathers. This is what my own sense of his background, his actions tell me, that he doesn't respect our Constitution. He doesn't respect our way of life. He doesn't respect America or its progress or its achievements. He somehow thinks it's all because we've cheated. He thinks it's a fundamentally unjust, racist culture. He's divided us. He has used every trick in the book, in my humble opinion. He's used every trick in the book to get around the constitutional limitations on his power.
Yeah, I want you to talk about, and I was going to wait till later in the show, but can you talk about the Defense of Marriage Act? We just had another hit on it in a federal court. You were in Massachusetts. You've seen the effects of same-sex marriage. John, summarize that decision.
Do you want me to play it?
Oh,
I've got a little clip.
Okay, we got a clip here on the newest decision on the Defense of Marriage Act.
The Defense of Marriage Act was deemed unconstitutional for the second time by a federal appeals court in Manhattan Thursday.
That upholds a Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruling, a lower court judge rather, who ruled that the 1996 law that defines marriage as that between a man and a woman is unconstitutional.
Federal appeals court in Boston also ruled
that. That's
the
good
law.
John. What do you make of this, Bishop? Do you think this will be, let's say Obama is not reelected, will this end? It seems like it's taking on a life of its own, this attack on this law that was passed by a huge bipartisan consensus.
Oh, it has. And remember now that these losses that it's suffering are the result of an administration that is in violation of Section 3, Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States, which requires that the president, I think it's Article 2, Section 3, that requires that the president of the United States take care that the laws are faithfully executed. He is required by the Constitution to enforce the law of the land, and if he doesn't like those laws, like every other citizen, he can proceed to petition the Congress to change it. He can sign a new law. He can't just decide, I don't like that law, therefore it's not in effect. So he's refusing to defend DOMA. Mm-hmm. And so DOMA is going to continue to suffer. If we have a president who is willing to defend the law of the land, leaving aside whether he particularly agrees with it or not, but says, look, it is a law. If I don't like it, I have a right as president to go to try to seek to change it, but I don't have a right to ignore it and act like it's not there. So that's one of the reasons why we're suffering so badly. But you're right. Look, we appointed judges who have an agenda that has nothing to do with the Constitution or the laws of the land. They want to pursue a homosexual agenda. They want to normalize it for our country. They want to transform our culture to make it a culture of what they call sexual liberty, which for them simply means to be able to kind of do what it, call whatever we do moral.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to use judges to do that because they can't get the people to go along with them.
But Bishop, back to Obama, he got away with it. Why is it that no congressman or senator sued Obama after he did this attack on DOMA? And here's a follow-up question to that, Bishop, comment. Why has this not been discussed at all, hardly, in the final rung of this presidential campaign, Obama versus Romney? We have barely heard gay marriage discussed at all.
Mm. Well, look, that's a very, very good question, and I don't think there's any really good answer for it. I think that there are a lot of Republicans, and by the way, I am a Republican. I'm a proud Republican. I agree with the Republican platform. I don't always agree with what candidates do or say, but I think there's a tendency on the part of a lot of Republican candidates to feel that it's controversial, it's divisive, they just don't want to touch the issue. And, you know, I believe that we have got to try to find people who care more about principle than they do about power. Who don't care if what the ultimate outcome of an election is, if it means compromising their values. And so, you know, that's what we're up against. We're up against typical politics. You know, James Madison said in Federalist Paper number 10, he said, enlightened statesmen will not always be at the helm. And how true that was. So we've got to just pray that God will give us leaders who are committed to doing what is right, doing what is pleasing in his sight, following the Judeo-Christian values that our founding fathers believed in, so that they will carry out policies and seek to implement laws that are reflective of those values.
And I think part of the explanation as to why it's not discussed, Bishop, it's not just the Republicans or it's not even just the liberal media. It's sort of this elitist mentality that this aura of inevitability that they're trying to create on the issue of homosexual so-called marriage. Regardless of how many states have voted against homosexual so-called marriage, they're always creating the impression that this is not really an important issue. Oh, this is just a matter of time. And implicit in that argument is the idea that this is a civil rights issue. In other words, an extension of what Martin Luther King did years ago. Comment on that.
Which is, of course, a complete lie. That's about as specious as it gets. This has absolutely nothing to do with civil rights. You know, the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, had to do with preventing people being discriminated against because of the color of their skin, which is an outward, immutable characteristic, which has absolutely nothing to do with character or behavior. Homosexuality is, by definition, behavior, and people can keep it private if they choose to, or they can choose to announce it if they want to. But you can't choose to keep being black private. So the two have absolutely no comparison whatsoever, but they are that comparison is simply being used to manipulate people emotionally. And, of course, people who want to do this just sort of accept that argument. Oh, yeah, it's a civil rights issue. I had one politician say to me when we were having a talk about the whole issue of discrimination and adding sexual orientation to the statute in this particular state, not necessarily in Virginia, but in a particular state that I was talking about, and the politician said to me, well, you of all people, meaning a black man, you of all people ought to want to avoid discriminating. And I had to sort of educate him on the fact that discrimination on the basis of skin color has nothing to do with people making judgments on the basis of human behavior if they believe that that behavior is immoral. So you're right. I mean, there's no comparison between the two. And frankly, it's an insult. And a lot of black folks don't have the platform that I've been blessed to have at times, but they feel the same way. They feel it is insulting to compare homosexuality with being black. So, I trust that we will have more leaders speaking up and shutting down this nonsense because, as far as I'm concerned, the homosexual activist community is doing nothing but using the black community to further an agenda that the black community doesn't even agree with.
Yeah, and Bishop, you know, we've got here. I know you're celebrating this. It's Lesbian and Gay History Month, in case you didn't know. And I just happened to go on the website this morning before taping here, and guess who is one of the guys who was on the History Month list for last year? This is a homosexual group called the Equality Forum puts out this History Month, and we got a break coming up here, but they've got George Washington Carver on the list. Did you know that George Washington Carver was gay?
I've heard that lie. And see, this is what I mean. That is really sad that they would slander that man that way. That is sad.
Well, and here's the thing, Bishop. If somebody's black, they're black. But homosexuality has to be declared. And now they're taking dead people and they're making them gay. It's just outrageous. Let's come back to you after the break. We're talking with Bishop E.W. Jackson. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth.
They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour, and I want to do a quick reminder where, first of all, you can sign up for our banquet at AmericansForTruth.org. We've got Dr. Judith Reisman. This is Saturday, October 27th, coming up in a few days. It's at the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Just go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org. Judith is the leading exposer of Alfred Kinsey, the evil genius who helped popularize homosexuality and other perversions. The title of her talk is Pedophilia, the Next New Normal. That's a question mark, but of course we now know that the pedophiles are using the same tactics as gay activists to normalize that heinous behavior. And Bishop, I was talking to you about this Gay and Lesbian History Month, and what strikes me about another way to illustrate the difference between real civil rights and fake homosexual so-called rights are you don't have to, there's no controversy over somebody who is black or white or brown. They just are. It's who they are. And yet the homosexuals, in their desperation to say that, you know, popularize, make homosexuality seem normal, are claiming all sorts of people. You know, we know they claim, some homosexual activists claim Abraham Lincoln was gay because he shared a bed with Joshua Speed in his in his youth. Guess what? There was a shortage of beds. Lincoln was gay. Washington was gay. Jesus Christ. Here's George Washington Carver being put on the list. And I went to a gay website, a guy named Alvin McEwen, radical gay activist. He just says, you know, he saw this entry on the Gay History Month website, and he said, George Washington Carver was gay. They state it as if it's fact, and basically they're destroying reputations of people who are in the grave. It's unbelievable.
Well, they've even said, I've read homosexual literature which claimed that David and Jonathan were homosexual because they entered a covenant with one another, and David spoke so tenderly and affectionately about Jonathan, and because they have no understanding of covenant friendship or relationship. Their minds are perverted. They're frankly very sick people psychologically and mentally and emotionally, and they see everything through the lens of homosexuality. When they talk about love, they're not talking about love. They're talking about homosexual sex. And so they can't see clearly. Jesus said, when the eye is dark, the body is full of darkness. But let me come back to this whole issue of their using the black community, because here again, some of the most vicious attacks ever leveled against any black conservative or black Christian, for that matter, or black Christians come out of the homosexual community. When the black community voted in California overwhelmingly to support Proposition 8 and define marriage as a union between one man and one woman, in the aftermath of that, homosexuals actually took to the streets, and when they saw black folks, they called them nasty names, they used the N-word, they claimed they were ungrateful. These are folks who have an attitude about black folks that is condescending, that is paternalistic, and they feel that they have the right to control the thinking of black people. It's as if, like a lot of liberals, whatever you have, we're responsible for your having it, and therefore you owe us. So it's really ugly and it's evil.
Now, you were talking at the break about in Massachusetts, some of the things that happened in the schools, some of the same propaganda foisted on children to try to normalize homosexuality. Tell us about that.
Sure. What they were doing, they had a pamphlet that they were trying to circulate in the elementary schools, which was entitled Just Do It. And on the front of it, it had two lesbians or two homosexual men kissing, and then the caption was Just Do It. And then it went on to explain how homosexuality is normal and lots of people are homosexual and it's okay to be homosexual. And then they started listing out people who were homosexual. And they included people who later on said, you know, I'm not a homosexual. I don't know where that came from, but it's not true. As the famous line on Seinfeld said, not that there's anything wrong with it, but let me just make clear that I'm not one of those. You know? So this is what they do. They lie because they need... Look, I am convinced of this. This is not ultimately about civil rights. It's not ultimately about not being bullied, not or being tolerated. This is ultimately about legitimacy. They need it because inside they don't have it, and they're hoping that if they can ultimately get everybody to approve, then they'll finally feel satisfied that this is really okay. But the reality is they'll never feel satisfied, because in their heart of hearts there will always be that place that God put there that says, this is wrong, it is immoral, it is perverse, it is degenerate, and there's nothing they can ever do to overcome that. So they've got to try to change the culture, hoping that it will make them feel at peace.
You know, incredible. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, they've been very, very successful in the classrooms. We just talked about that when we talked about that interview with the AFA person. But they've been successful in the classrooms. They've been tremendously successful in the courtrooms. And they've been tremendously successful in the living rooms with perpetuating the lifestyle on television shows, Bishop. But now I just see, this just hit this morning, that now it's an internal memo from Nordstrom has come out. Nordstrom's is now joining Starbucks and Amazon.com and Home Depot in promoting, not just tolerating, but actually promoting a same-sex marriage a crusade. And they say, we just continued to hear from more and more employees that they wanted us to stand up and support it, says the Nordstrom spokeswoman, Brooke White. So you see, it's essentially attacking all elements of our culture, isn't it, Bishop?
Absolutely, because they've got to transform the culture in order to make their lifestyles fully acceptable to everyone, which is why, and you know, this I used two words to describe what they're trying to do, authoritarian and totalitarian. And I believe that. I believe that they are of a mindset that says, we want to destroy in any way we need to anyone who dares oppose this agenda. It's a very, very dangerous approach. They don't just say, look, you know, tolerate us and, you know, you may think we're wrong and that's okay. No, it's not okay for you to even think that or to believe that. Even if you do so because of sincerely held religious beliefs, you better either change your beliefs or prepare to suffer persecution. And that's just where they're coming from. And yes, they're using every tool in the culture in order to get it done. Every business that will go along with it, every TV show, and they've got plenty of support from Hollywood. They're using all, literature, magazines, you name it. They're continually telling us, this is good, this is right, this is okay. They just got one little problem, and that is that God has condemned it, mm-hmm. and there's nothing they'll ever be able to do about that, and they'll stand before him in judgment for their rebellion.
And yet this is why it is such a more important issue than just homosexuality. In fact, I just read somewhere, I think it was Huffington Post, Jim Daly, the new head of Focus on the Family, said something to the effect of, we have to make sure we don't make homosexuality the super sin. And I responded on Twitter, Bishop, by saying, it's not us, it's not Christians who made homosexuality super. It's the gay activists who have made this the huge issue. It's the only sin that's not a sin. It's a sexual orientation. There's no, hey, guess what? I just had my 24th anniversary. I still have, there's still lust. As Jimmy Carter said, most men have lust in their heart. Does that mean we should have lust pride parades, Bishop? Adultery pride parades? Yeah. I mean, what is sexual orientation? That's not in the Bible. And so Mr. Daly is a little bit, I haven't read the full interview, but it's not we who made this super, it's they who made this the dominating issue.
Well, you know, when I hear that, what I hear is a little bit of trying to placate people, mm-hmm. trying to...
Exactly.
You know, we're not as bad as people think we are, and it's as if we're saying some of us are bad because we tried to make homosexuality such a big deal. You know, I've said to many groups, you know, we didn't create marriage and family and monogamy, male and female, to irritate homosexuals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's been around long before you and any of us on this interview were born. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years, for all of human history. So we didn't sort of create this, you know, well, the homosexuals want to do something else. Well, let's irritate them and we'll make the family something, you know, that can only be defined as a male and female. That's the way it has always been. That's the way it is. So for somebody to say, you know, we're trying to make it the super sin also, and you know, and look, and I taught my church this, and here a lot of people may not agree with this, but this is the truth. When people say, well, all sin is the same, that is not true.
Right.
That is not true. The Bible calls some sins particularly detestable in the sight of Almighty God, and it calls homosexuality one of those sins, and it names some other things along with that, bestiality, some other things, because homosexuality is a double sin, because it's not only a sin against God's moral law, it's a sin against nature, God's natural order. It says God made men for men, women for women, and the Bible says God made Eve a help mate, someone suitable for Adam. And then people say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care about that. I'm going to go my way. And it's clear physiologically that it doesn't work, but they want to do it anyway. So God says this is a particularly detestable sin. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, look, there's no question. All sin is subject to condemnation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that's true for all sin. But it also makes clear that God distinguishes sin. When he told Pilate when Pilate was telling him, you know, I have the power of life and death over you. He said, you have no power over me except what's been given you from above. He said, therefore, he who delivered me into your hands has the greater sin. He didn't say, Pilate, you're not sinning.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, but there's a greater sin. The one who betrayed me committed a greater sin than that. So this idea, again, is specious. Homosexuality is a horrible sin. It poisons culture. It destroys families. It destroys societies. It brings the judgment of God, unlike any very few things, that is, we can think of.
In 20 seconds, Bishop, what do you say to somebody who says, but it's who I am, Bishop? It's who I am.
Well, it doesn't matter who you claim to be. It matters who God made you to be, and that's what we ought to strive for.
Amen. Amen. John?
On the other side of this break, I'll come in and I'll give you my comment on that. We're with Bishop E.W. Jackson, a great bishop from Virginia, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back. We have one more segment with Bishop Jackson. It's very enjoyable, very informative. Quickly, I want to remind folks about Saturday, October 27th. We got Dr. Judith Reisman speaking on the question of pedophilia, the next new normal. This is at 5:30 p.m. The doors open at Christian Liberty Academy, which is in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Last year, of course, you remember, we had two pink paver bricks thrown through the window and a manifesto put up, homosexual activists condemning us and urging us to shut down the event. We haven't heard the results of that yet, John. So hopefully there won't be any bricks thrown through the window this time around. We're in the same facility, Christian Liberty Academy, Saturday, October 27th.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. Now, I'm not saying this as a spokesperson for AFTA, because I haven't cleared this with Peter, and he might think I'm off my rocker. But this is something, as a pastor and as a man, I truly do believe. And if Jim Daly were here, I'd say, I love you, brother, but you stepped on it in this one. Because I will say that homosexuality is the super sin. I will say it is a super sin, and I'm going to tell you right now why it is, Jim. Adultery doesn't threaten to take away my religious freedom. The adulterers aren't marching in the street in an adultery pride parade. Adulterers aren't affecting bed and breakfasts and suing them out of business. They're not affecting a family-run bakery firm that doesn't want to make a cake for an adulterer's ceremony, or they're not affecting, the Christian photographer, or and they're certainly not putting Catholic charities out of the business of foster children and adopting kids to loving Christian families. So yes, I will say this to you, Mr. Daly, it is a super sin because it reaches far beyond the bounds of what happens between two men or two women in their bedroom. It's crushing our Constitution, and it's stripping of us of our religious freedom. That sounds pretty super to me.
Amen. I could not agree with you more. And look, it also attempts to poison our children, divide them from their parents and the teaching of the church, and basically turn them into pawns for that movement so that they can sexualize them at the earliest possible age. It really is insidious, and I agree with you. It is a super sin.
Well, folks, I got to read something. I want you to get your reaction, Bishop. I got a letter from something called Gays Against the Gay Agenda, G-A-G-A. This is not the Lady Gaga. This is on the polar opposite side of the spectrum. And here's what it says. We are a group of gay men and women who want to join the fight against the gay political agenda because we know the truth. And I'm just going to read one of the stories. It says, here are a few of our stories. Names have been changed for our safety. And it's interesting that the people who sent this had to send it anonymously, that they're afraid for their safety. That tells you a lot about the homosexual political movement. Here's one from Abe. Quote, I was sexually molested by a neighbor when I was young. I was in counseling for years, but as a teen started having gay relationships with other boys. I always said I was born gay, but deep down inside, I knew that my experience as a boy were the cause. I still live a gay lifestyle, but I know it's wrong. It's like a drug. You know it's wrong, but you keep doing it. Unquote. Bishop, you know, I think one thing the media covers up on this homosexual issue are the contributing factors that help drive people into this sin. They all want to pretend that it's just a natural characteristic that you're born that way, and that's who you are.
And that's another lie. Look, I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for 30 years. I have certainly counseled with and talked to people who have been caught up in homosexuality. I have never seen a situation in which anybody didn't have an incident, a circumstance, a situation that introduced them to this lifestyle that then became a part of their lives. I'll tell you one story, young man. He came to me, been a part of my church for a long time, and said to me, you know, Pastor, I've got this homosexual tendency that I'm dealing with and I'm grappling with. And I said, well, how long has this been going on? And he said, since about the age of 10 years old. I said, well, what happened when you were 10? He said, I used to play house with some friends, he said, and there was an older boy who played with us. And he kind of pushed me into playing the female role, and over a period of time, he began to molest me. And you know, I started to, you know, get comfortable with that. It was the first sexual experience I had, and after that, it's something that just stayed with me. I never forgot it, and it kind of marked me. And that began to be the pattern that I was inclined to follow. Now, this young man wasn't born a homosexual. He was molested into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is just a lot of nonsense that they're born that way. God made, in fact, Oprah said, you know, God made homosexuals. Mm. That's a lie. Yeah. God didn't make anybody homosexual any more than he made somebody promiscuous.
Well, mm-hmm. she likes to play God herself. Here's mm-hmm. another one from that Gays Against the Gay Agenda letter that I received from Aunt Anna. Quote, I was a foster child. I was molested many times by three different foster fathers. I chose to be a lesbian because I do not feel comfortable with men in sexual situations. Unquote. And Bishop, this is just so sad. We our hearts go out to these people, and sometimes I wish that the homosexual activists more homosexuals, people who consider themselves gay or lesbian, could break free from the ideology and the rhetoric of the gay rights movement and be honest about this lifestyle. I don't believe that homosexuality is part of God's plan for any man or woman in this world.
No, it's not. It's not. But you see, the heart has to open up to the will of God for one's life. And the activists, those folks who are writing, many of them undoubtedly want to be delivered. They want to be set free from it. And they can be. God can set them free. But the people whose hearts are hardened, you know, Romans 1 talks about them. Their foolish hearts were darkened, thinking themselves to be wise. They became fools,
mm-hmm.
and they received that recompense that was meet or appropriate for their mm-hmm. behavior. And for some of those folks, they want you to change. They want us to change. They want the culture to change. They're committed to not changing. So, you know, we've just got to – I tell people, look, I have nothing but compassion for the homosexual because I know – they're in pain because they're not who God made them to be. They can't be at peace with themselves. However, I distinguish the individual homosexual from the movement
mm-hmm.
that is an absolute attack on Christianity. Kai Feldblum mm-hmm. said, if there's a tension between First Amendment rights and sexual liberty has to win in order for homosexuals to fully realize their desires.
Yeah, well, gays win and Christians lose. Bishop,
yeah, exactly.
I want you to say as a pastor, from one black man to another, Don Lemon, I talked about Gay and Lesbian History Month. Don Lemon is one of the people on the calendar this year. He's the black anchor from CNN who first admitted that he was the victim of a pedophile when he was a boy. In other words, he was molested by a homosexual predator, by a man. And then later, within weeks, Bishop, he came out as, quote, gay. What would you say, man to man, if you had time to have an earnest discussion with Don Lemon? What would you tell him?
I would tell him that you can't possibly believe that God intended you to be molested, because he didn't. And if God did not intend you to be molested, and that's how you were introduced to your, quote, unquote, gayness, then if the root is poison, then the fruit is poison. And you need to go back to the time before that and seek God for who you really are in him. That's the answer. You need God to intervene, to show you what it really is to be loved, and how love has absolutely nothing to do with sex, and how God's love can heal you and deliver you and set you free and allow you to live a normal lifestyle. I would just minister to him the love of God, and that, you know, what happened to him should not define his identity, because that's exactly. In fact, I was watching CNN when he made that declaration. I just happened to be watching. Very rarely watch it, but sometimes in airports they have it on, and I think I was in an airport or something when he made that statement.
Yeah, of course, they never have Fox on at the airport. But, you know, talked about hardened hearts. Now, if his heart is hardened, unfortunately now he becomes a role model to countless other youth, black, white, Hispanic. He becomes a model for homosexuality. And so what began as a molestation ends up with him using his considerable power in the media to help normalize this terrible sin.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. That people who have been hurt and wounded, instead of seeking deliverance from it, they perpetuate that wound and they transmit it to others. This is why, you know, I am absolutely convinced that they want to inculcate youth with the idea that homosexuality is okay. I think what they're often doing is repeating what has happened to them, because they've been introduced to this usually at a young light in a young age and early on in their lives, and they want to do the same thing to others. So rather than being a force for helping people to avoid it and to be delivered from it, they have instead become a force for trying to introduce it to people, to young people, the same way they were introduced. And it's really tragic. And, you know, look, they claim that we hate them, and there's nothing we can do to persuade them otherwise, because if you don't go along with what they want to do, they're going to label you as a hater. But if they could see into our hearts and see the love of God that we have for them and the desire to see them set free, they'd have a whole new picture. But they simply can't see it because they're spiritually darkened.
I want to ask you one question, Bishop, about black youth, especially black boys, but also black girls. It's no mystery. You've written about it. You've discussed it. There is a lot more problem with fatherlessness among black families. Have you seen personally that sort of, you know, we know that homosexuality a lot of times is a father issue. There's not a love. The son has not learned from masculinity. Sometimes it's a perception problem. The boy mistakenly feels or truly feels or, you know, rightly feels that the father hates him. But fatherlessness, of course, contributes to homosexuality. Have you seen some of that outworking among black girls and boys growing up in your pastorate?
Well, I can tell you this. I don't have any data or study to give a definitive answer to this, but I can tell you, based on anecdotal observation and experience, I've heard a lot of young black ladies say that a lot of young black men seem to be, quote-unquote, gay, that I've heard them complain about it. They say so many of these guys are homosexuals. And they're frankly frustrated by it, because they're saying, you know, these are often, you know, nice looking men. They look like they could build a life for themselves, but they're not interested in a marriage to a woman. They're interested in being with another man. So there's something that's going on in the community, and I think fatherlessness has contributed to it greatly. because, of course, if you haven't been loved by your father, then you just like young ladies do, young men can do the same thing. They can make the mistake, particularly if they're recruited into it. They find a man who will love them and give them what they're looking for, but sexualize them, then they end up for the rest of their lives often looking for love in all the wrong places.
Of course, just for discussing this, we're all a bunch of hate mongers, right? Right, John?
And, well, yeah. I mean, that's the way it goes. But Jesus said that, you know, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. And so I just take that, you know, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So it doesn't bother me a bit. It bothers me more for them than it does for me. I mean, I know who I am, and I know what's in my heart, and it's not mm-hmm. hatred. But I really would that they could see that and see the mm-hmm. love of God for them and his desire to set them free from that bondage.
Yeah, Bishop, I'm wondering if we're over time here now and time to go. I'm wondering if you could close us out with a prayer, not just for homosexuals, but for our nation, as we are in very perilous times.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the United States of America, but we know that our country is in deep trouble and that the economic and fiscal problems are symptoms of a deeper problem, and that problem is spiritual. We need a great awakening. Forgive us for the sin of homosexuality and its rampant acceptance, even to the point of marrying people of the same sex and claiming that it's right and good, and doing it even in places of worship that call themselves churches of God. Forgive us for the babies that have been aborted over the last 40, 50 years, oh God. We have done so much in rebellion against you, but we believe that you love this nation, that you want to call us back to the foundational principles which made this nation possible and ultimately made this nation great, those principles that garner your favor rather than your judgment. We love you. We pray for this ministry that you would continue to make them a voice, even if they're crying in the wilderness, Lord, but let others hear it and awaken and run to it, as George Washington said, to hear the truth and repair to it. And Father God, we know that the rest is ultimately in your hands. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, so much for the interview. Give us your website one more time.
It's standamerica.us, or they Google my name, Bishop E.W. Jackson, they'll find it.
And they will find that video, too, by Googling E.W. Jackson, mm-hmm. Democrat, right? Democratic Party?
Yeah, E.W. Jackson. Just Google E.W. Jackson. YouTube.
It'll pop up. Yeah.
It'll pop up, yeah.
Okay, God bless you. God bless you, Bishop.
Bishop, you got a couple brothers here in Chicago that love the death out of you, brother, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you so
God
much.
Bless.
You all too. God
Bye-bye.
Bless.
You've been listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with Pete LaBarbera and John Kirkwood. All our interviews are available archived at americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. Also, don't forget our banquet coming up Saturday, October 27th at Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights, Illinois, featuring Dr. Judith Reisman. That's Saturday, October 27th. Please return to our website, make a donation, americansfortruth.org. There's a donate button. Donate to our cause. Help us to continue with these interviews. And thanks for listening. God bless.